And away we go. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster reunited with Tom Fairbanks. Tom was
away.
The gang's all here. Tom was away. I was away. And this is the first time Bill and Tom have been back together for at least 2 weeks. And I learned just before you opened the mic that you and I share a love of that Central Oregon coast.
You betcha.
Newport, Lincoln City, but right in between Newport and Lincoln City is Depot Bay, where we saw a bunch of whales. And I guess you're pretty much this time of year, before they head south to Baja, you're going to see a family of whales. I know.
So these were humpbacks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were. And not very far. That bay must be really deep at Depot Bay, because they were pretty close in.
Yeah, it falls off, that Pacific coast falls off pretty rapidly out there.
But if anyone is thinking, well, California has the best coast, it's the most beautiful, well, we've pretty much seen all of the California coast. Washington's coast isn't, you know, there's basically Olympic National Park, and that's, you know, it for Washington. Vancouver Island is really nice, but I'll tell you, the best coastal scenery in North America is the Oregon coast.
Yeah, big rocks, cliffs, big trees up on top of
big
those cliffs.
Big waves. I mean, yeah, I'm all jazzed about it. It was great. We've now been over there three times, done the southern part around Brookings. Then we did Cannon Beach 1 year, and this was kind of the central part. I think the central part is the best. Anyway, enough of my vacation. And Tom, you had a good vacation too.
I got to spend some time with my daughter and grandson and my son and his family over in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So, that was good.
That went well.
Yeah.
Midweek edition. It's Wednesday, the 7th of September, 2022. It's the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station is 1030. The call letters are KVOI, like K-Voice, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening. On my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from KVOI.com. When we do our telephone interviews, which we will do a couple today, the live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Without further ado, he is on the live line, Pima County Supervisor Republican, the lone Republican on the five-member Pima County Board of Supervisors, Mr. Steve Christie. Steve, how are you?
I'm great. Welcome back to both you and Tom.
Yeah, we had both of us had a really good time off, raring to go. Right before I left town, there was this horrible incident involving Deborah Martinez, the Pima County constable, who had not been on the job very long, Steve Christie, killed in a shooting at a Tucson apartment complex that claimed her life and the lives of two other people. What a dangerous job that is, Steve Christie.
Well, it is, and it was just a horrific tragedy, not only for the family there, but obviously the constable and the loss that led to, but it is a dangerous job. And one of the dangerous jobs that law enforcement does is answering calls of domestic violence, because they never know what's waiting them. And clearly the constable basically is dealing with nothing but domestic issues of eviction and serving papers. So every time they knock on a door, every time they serve someone any kind of court documents, they're doing so without knowing what's on the other side of that door and what's waiting for them. So it's a extremely dangerous job, and it can be even made more dangerous depending on the circumstances that the constable is there.
And I know Pima County has been taking a look at the whole constable system. I know former assistant Pima County administrator, former sheriff Mark Napier, who is now retired from the county, but he was looking at the whole constable system, and he had called the situation kind of a fractured group with varying philosophies toward the job. What about an overhaul? What are you hearing about that?
Well, at this particular point, I'm sure everyone is still reeling from the tragedy, and they're trying to catch their breath and get their heads above water on this issue. But certainly, the constable system could easily need and use uniformity and training and appearance, a set of uniform and consistent guidelines, all sorts of issues dealing with firearms, I'm sure, how you approach individuals who are facing eviction, and what are the best practices. There's constables all across the country, and I'm sure they're in varying degrees have more success than others, and it would probably be of real value for a study to be made of these other constable systems, as well as to look into our own and pick out the best practices and put them into a training manual and a training session and continuing training and education. It's unfortunate that a horrible tragedy like we've just gone through has to occur before we realize that there are some very gaping holes in our whole system, and that our whole system needs to be revised.
Speaking of kind of taking a look at maybe revising, you think it's time for an overview of how Pima County did in responding to the pandemic? Do you think this would be a good time, or should we wait till, I mean, we're still getting almost 100 cases. I just looked at the numbers, still about 100 cases a day in Pima County, but clearly COVID apparently has gone to an endemic phase. Is this the time to do the overhaul, or should we wait?
Well, coincidentally, not too long ago, so earlier in the summer, if not late in the spring, I can't quite recall, the Small Business Commission, who advises the Board of Supervisors on small business issues, put forth an idea, a goal, that I took and placed it on the agenda at the Board of Supervisors meeting that would have the Small Business Commission conduct what you would call an after-action report, or also a best practices report, but actually to gauge and measure the effects that the pandemic had on the small business community in particular, and our general community altogether. And it would include having an outside consultant or consultants come in and do this review, so it would be perfectly independent, and there would be no information from any source that could be later called as biased or prejudicial. And it would gauge and measure what took place during the pandemic and how the mandates and the imposition of certain regulations had on the small business community. Now I think is the time to do it, because as you say, the COVID issue is receding, and people aren't going to the hospital or being sick in the numbers that they were. And I think it's time that we can raise up and take a look around and see what we did right, what we did wrong, what effects it had, and what mistakes were made, and if those mistakes are identified and dealt with and addressed, then we can be assured that they won't happen again. I think this was a great idea. It required some money for the Small Business Commission to do this, but it went before the board, and it was voted down. My colleagues did not want to have anything to do with it. I can only surmise that they didn't want any mistakes to be uncovered that they would maybe feel responsible for. But in any event, it was a great idea. And hopefully the indications are that the county administration and certain department heads also agree that it was a great idea. And maybe there'll be a revisitation of this analysis. And I'm hoping there will be, because it is needed. And we do need to know what happened and how it happened and how we can make it better.
Yeah, because I think it would be helpful to have a blueprint to look at what we've been through, because surely this is not the last pandemic that Pima County will ever experience, Steve Christie.
Well, I have not been a avid supporter of the county health department. I feel that they're very quick to create a situation that calls for mandates and for regulations and for impositions on people's businesses and schools and lives. And I think there was a great deal of damage done to our small business community, to our individual residents, to our schools and school children. And my concern is that the health department seems ever ready, just kind of crouching in the tall grass, wanting to create a situation or announce a situation that would put back in force all of the regulations and mandates that did so much damage during the pandemic. So, yes, there's probably going to be ample opportunity for the health department to call for other pandemics in the near future, and I think that would be something that could be analyzed a little bit better if we had the data behind us to prove what happened in the last one.
Steve Christie, are you ready for Mona's Danish Bakery?
Sure.
I know you're pushing for Steve and the team to open a satellite office, a bakery down in Green Valley. They're not quite ready for that yet, but I'll tell you what, they are ready right now to entertain luncheon diners at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They open at 6:30. People are waiting. I don't blame them. 6:30, they want their coffee and they want all the fresh stuff that has just gone into the bakery case at 6:30. They're open till 3, Tuesday through Saturday. Then Sunday, they do at 7 a.m. to 2 in the afternoon, close now on Monday. Mona's Danish Bakery, their website is monasdanishbakery.com. And, of course, they have a beautiful selection of Danish kringle. So if you don't want a full kringle, they usually have some cut-up pieces available for you in the bakery case. Let's take a break right here. More with Steve Christie right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
The way we vote in Pima County is changing. Are you ready? The League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson invites you to visit ReadySetVoteTucson.com to learn about new vote centers for easier in-person voting, new voting districts, and changes to the early voting list. Get ready to vote at ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Brought to you by the League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson. That's ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Get ready to vote.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster with you in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. You know, I was just thinking during the break, this would be a great time to do a garden inventory. If the plants aren't doing well after the rainy season is not over, but yeah, pretty much over, if they're not doing well, this would be the time to head to Green Things, replace them, get some fresh color into your garden. Perfect time to make that garden inventory and the transition to autumn. I'm ready. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. The folks at Green Things didn't get off the bus yesterday here in Tucson. They're over a half century in business. GreenThingsAZ.com, their sister business on site. ZocaloVillage.com, all that great merchandise. Wow, the beautiful Talavera pottery they have from Mexico, all sorts of beautiful things. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, the District 4 Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie joining us on the live line. Quite a meeting yesterday, at least an exchange about Supervisor, your colleague, Supervisor Rex Scott, was doing the after primary report. You had some questions, didn't you, Steve Christie?
Well, first of all, my main question is why Supervisor Scott presented that agenda item even in the first place. He knew fully well and was fully aware that the timeline for that kind of after action report was already set and agreed to in a unanimous vote by the board at the last meeting. He knew perfectly well that the report is still in the process of being formulated and that it was going to go to the Elections Integrity Commission on September 16th first for their review and input, and then it was going to come before the board for final dispensation and inspection on October 4th. So why he decided to circumvent that whole process, which was already voted on and decided by the board, is a question to me. And it seemed to me that it was kind of a preempted attempt to maybe restructure the report itself. The report was generated by the county administrator, Jan Lesher, and her staff. But no one asked her to do that. No one asked for a county administrator report on elections. We asked for the elections department and the county recorder to give separate after-action reports, not the county administrator. Yet the county administrator went on quite in-depth, and it was basically read again by Supervisor Scott, who then was able to take even more license into the whole matter by what I would definitely say was a political opportunity, and a political opportunity at the dais of invoking the name of President Trump and Carrie Lake. And then when I had mentioned and provided the fact that my office had taken anecdotal evidence, or I shouldn't say evidence, but anecdotal incidents of people having issues with the primary system and the primary experience, and that I was making those comments from the public available to the elections director as well as the recorder, He took the time to basically dissect them and dismiss them even before the actual formal report from the elections director and the county recorder was put before the elections commission and the board of supervisors. So to me, this was a staged attempt to maybe control the narrative that perhaps the county administration wanted to protect the Department of Elections director and to set a narrative that everything was just fine with the primary election and to protect the recorder and say that everything that that office did was fine with the primary election. To be able to take political statements and insert them into this discussion that have nothing to do with a new voting system in Pima County. I mean, to say that it was President Trump's fault that there are questions being asked about the voting system, which has never been in place here in Pima County ever, or to have Carrie Lake's name brought up, even though we have two new elections officials who have never run an election in Pima County. It was a very bizarre twist of things, and I think it was inappropriate, obviously, at best, and it was political grandstanding at worst by Supervisor Scott.
Are you still getting complaints from constituents about the election, the way it was handled?
Yes, we are, and they are where I'm looking at this from a procedural standpoint, from a analysis of how the procedure went through, and Supervisor Scott seems to be looking at it as, in a political sense. And I don't know why he's inserting politics into this in such a manner that he did yesterday. All I want is what everybody in Pima County wants, and that is a fair, clean, secure, and accurate tabulation of the votes, where there's no question of any fraud or any discrepancies or any irregularities. That's all I want. I'm not looking to take anybody down, the elections director, or to go after the county recorder or any of that. I just want a fair and clean vote. And there are issues and questions that are legitimate, given the fact that this voting center system with e-books and the clouds and ballots on demand, these are all new things that are very suspect in very many ways, if not exposing our voter database and all of these things that are legitimate for questions. And all I've been doing is asking questions and addressing these issues so that at the end of the election cycle, people can say, yes, this vote system was very accurate and very safe. And it just was very disappointing that Supervisor Scott took this road of going down into politics and chastising those who dare question this new system that has never been in Pima County before.
All right, I've only got about 3 minutes. What's the latest on RTA next, Steve Christie?
Well, they're still formulating the plan on that, and it's going to be interesting to see how the monies are going to be brought together to complete the projects. I've been given information that there's going to be all the projects are going to be completed as promised in the original RTA. And a lot of it, of course, is dependent on how the city of Tucson reacts to its membership in the RTA and in the Pima Association of Governments. And I think that right now there's a concerted effort with the staff of the RTA and PAG to make sure that the community is well aware of what the RTA next system can provide for the community. And hopefully a message that this is a very viable and successful enterprise, and that we need the full cooperation of all of the jurisdictions, because our infrastructure needs are at the point where we can't give up now. And it looks like it's going to be very difficult, given the fact that the city of Tucson has just passed that extended that tax for their road repair. But I think right now it's in the formulative stage, but I think very soon, over the next couple of months, we're going to see some real tangible elements of the RTA Next program.
When those 200 people lost their job at the hospital, down in Green Valley, they basically were left on their own. And I know that many people are not happy about that. They were apparently promises were made. Is there any news for those people?
At this particular point, I have not heard any news for that for those folks, other than there have been job fairs and reaching out by county entities to try to help place them. That was a very sad and unfortunate situation, and it really came from virtually from left field. Nobody expected that, because there's always the 60-day requirement to warn folks of closure of a business. And apparently they were promised by the owners and the management of mm-hmm. the hospital that they would get paid. And I'm disappointed that they weren't, as I'm sure everyone is. I know Pima County is having job fairs to try to help them. I think those folks are very talented and very placeable and desirable for jobs, but nonetheless, going through a new whole new job culture and job placement culture and all of that, it's very disruptive. And you know, our hearts go out to them. But yeah. I think they're talented enough. They have enough talent and experience where they're going to find some jobs. And it's going to be tough, but I think they can do it.
All right, Steve Christie, we'll let you go. See you in October.
Bill, did I tell you one thing?
What?
That I love being supervisor.
Oh, really? What a revelation, Steve Christie. Thank you, Steve. Have a great day.
Same to you. Thanks, Bill.
All right. We'll take a break right here, Buckmaster. See you on the other side.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade. Using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Just last week, the American Seniors Housing Association came out with their annual ranking of top senior housing operators. And guess what? Tucson-based Watermark Retirement Communities has once again made the top 10 list, ranking as a top 10 operator. Longtime Watermark associate June Hussey returns to the Buckmaster Show to share more good news about Watermark's new Elan Collection property in Tucson, which is the Hacienda at the River, and it's opening this month. Hey, June, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Bill. It's great to be here.
And when we talked last month, we talked about how Watermark really, as they say, didn't get off the bus yesterday. The founder, David Freshwater, his vision, it really started a long time ago. You were right there at the beginning. And then there was Watermark, the fountains at La Cholla was the first. Then there was, I don't know about the order here, but these are the Watermark properties. Watermark at Oro Valley, the Hacienda at the Canyon, Hacienda at the River. Hacienda at the River is your property, and the Watermark at Continental Ranch in Marana. And you've got some exciting things going on. What's the latest over at your property?
Oh, my gosh. Well, we got the great news from the city of Tucson that we are able to open. We passed all of our inspections, and we have our first move-in scheduled on Monday this coming week. So we're very excited about that.
For folks who don't know about your footprint, tell us about where you are and the type of operation it is.
Well, the Hacienda at the River is a campus located close to St. Philip's Plaza, just east of that intersection, River and Campbell. The campus has been around for going on 6 years. We have had memory care and assisted living operating there since that time. But we are just now, next week, in fact, opening for the first time 23 beautiful new independent living apartments. So we're looking forward to welcoming our first couple who's moving in next week from Sedona.
They're coming down from Sedona. And there's an interesting kind of twist to this move-in.
Yes. So, you know, we are built as an equestrian property, as you may know. Mm-hmm. We have a stable on site. And this particular couple are horse lovers.
Yeah.
They have a horse. She has not been able to ride her horse much up in Sedona because of all of her household responsibilities. So she is looking forward to having more time to ride her horse. She loves our location because of the proximity to the equestrian trails. We're right there on the loop. She's going to board her horse nearby. And they're really looking forward to that aspect of their new life.
How about some other move-ins?
Oh my gosh, we have so many great people moving in. I don't know where to start. I think the next person to move in is a single lady. She's moving from right in the neighborhood. She lives in the foothills, but she was widowed a couple years ago, and she has found herself rambling around in a big old house.
Yep.
You know,
That's very typical.
Yep. Wants just to be around people again.
Yeah.
So she really kind of made up her mind pretty quickly that she wants to join us.
Mm-hmm. And she will have a lot of really nice people. Suddenly she's got a bunch of new friends.
Yes. And it's pretty exciting to be part of a startup community too, Bill, because, you know, this is the third startup I've been involved with.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very fun to be in that first group of people to move in because you form these bonds that last forever. And not just between neighbors, but between the staff, too. It's really fun for all of us.
So you've got someone bringing the horse. You've got someone who is a widow and wants companionship and a downsizing. Any other profiles you want to tell us about?
Well, yeah. I mean, we have a couple of other couples that have taken a bit longer to make up their mind, and that's pretty typical. So usually when people start out in the process of exploring options, they start out saying they're not ready. And not ready can mean different people to different things to different people.
Well, it's not an easy decision, let's face it.
Right. Yeah. It's not. And this particular couple I'm thinking of is having, you know, has had a hard time parting with a beautiful property down by Madera Canyon.
Yeah.
They love to hike. They have beautiful views.
Mm-hmm.
But they've come to terms with their decision, and they've made a plan, and they have found the courage to move forward and make a great future for themselves.
Do you have counseling available to folks that are potential residents? But counseling being about helping and to make a difficult decision.
Yes, well, that's pretty much what we do in the membership office. I mean, we work with people, you know, helping them through that decision-making process for as long as it takes them to make up their mind. And it's fun to be their cheerleaders because, you know, someone in my position, I've been able to see people before and after. Mm-hmm. And I've really been able to see people thrive having made the decision. So it's fun to help them through that process. And it takes some people longer than others.
We're speaking with June Hussey, and June has been with Watermark a long time, and she's currently with the Hacienda at the River. Tell us about, I think you mentioned there's just almost two dozen homes, correct?
Yes, we have 23 apartments. Mm-hmm.
And how are they set up? I mean, what are they like?
Oh my gosh, they are breathtakingly gorgeous. They're brand new. They are one and two bedrooms, very spacious, very light, very modern, and people love them. They have wood floors, fireplaces, and there's really nothing else like them in Tucson.
Amenity-wise, what about that?
Well,
you mentioned the equestrian center. There's other really interesting things, too.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we're right on that loop trail, so that makes nearby places of interest very accessible. We have beautiful courtyards, beautiful club rooms where people can have a bridge club meeting or have a catered luncheon or just get together and read the paper. Beautiful courtyards.
Dining option?
Oh, of course, the dining. We have two restaurants on site for independent living members to enjoy. We have the Gallery Bar, which is a full-service bar, and we have a restaurant called the Acacia.
So there's a little bit there for everyone.
Exactly. And we're just so excited. Every single person on our team can't wait to welcome the first members next week.
Watermark has just grown. It's amazing from really that first property here in Tucson. There are more, I believe, more than 70 communities coast to coast. This is a big company, over 7,000 employees that really started here in Tucson. And the vision, and you worked with the Watermark founder, David Freshwater. What he was pretty much ahead of his time, wasn't he, in this area of senior living?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of stumbled into the opportunity in the first place, but we came quickly to recognize that there was huge opportunity to make a mark in this field, and we've been doing it ever since. It, you know, you talk about the size of the company now. To me, it really doesn't feel much different than when we started on day one. It still, to me, feels like a small company because we still approach it one person at a time. It's a very personalized experience, and we all rally around our mission, which is creating extraordinary and innovative communities where people thrive. So even though we have 7,000 associates working for us, each one of them can grasp onto that mission, make it their own. And I think a lot of people join our company because they want to be part of that mission.
And the Elan collection is really Watermark's top of the line, of which the Hacienda at the River is part of that Elan collection.
Yes, yeah. We have two Elan collection properties in Tucson, the Hacienda at the River and the Hacienda at the Canyon. And we call them sister properties, the big sister being the Hacienda at the Canyon, and then the little sister is the Hacienda at the River.
All right. If there's a special person that is looking for really a really beautiful way to live over there at the Hacienda at the River, they can contact you. How do folks get more information, June Hussey?
Well, they can call us, first of all, 520-485-1060. They can also go online to watermarkcommunities.com and learn about all of our communities and fill out an inquiry form online. We've also been offering a lot of introductory events and ways to experience our lifestyle. So if you do fill out an online inquiry form, we will keep you informed of those opportunities as well. But the best way, of course, is to make an appointment and just come see us one-on-one.
Yeah, take a look at the property. June Hussey, always a pleasure. Thank you, June.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, we'll be back with former Arizona Attorney General Terry Goddard. He is waiting right now on our live line. He'll be with us right after the break.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Nice day over in Silver City. Low 80s over there. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, one of our great sponsors. Makes a great getaway, only about a three-hour drive to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. And there's so much to do. Lots of outdoor activities, hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, going up to the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For more on what to do and where to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Joining us now on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, former Arizona Attorney General Terry Goddard, to discuss what has been dubbed the Voters' Right to Know Act, which is designed to eliminate exemptions in the state campaign finance laws, and that will be on the ballot, Terry Goddard, along with nine other initiatives initiatives, but there were legal challenges. First of all, good to see you and good to talk with you, Terry Goddard.
Thank you, Bill. It's a pleasure to talk with you. And yes, we now can say that Stop Dark Money, which we've been working on for the last 6 years, is finally going to be on the November ballot.
What was the deal with the challenges?
Well, I try not to be too cynical here. They were hyper-technical issues that the plaintiffs felt would disqualify most of our circulators. And fortunately, the trial court and then again the Supreme Court of Arizona both ruled against them and said that these were not real issues. One of them was whether they had to use the same exact address for service of process as they did for our campaign headquarters. We tried to facilitate the service of process as we're required to by law, and they tried to use that against us. They also tried to say that circulators, and forgive me if I'm getting down in the weeds here, but you asked what the challenge was. Circulators who are paid have to file with the Secretary of State for each petition that they pass. Mm. And that's a form that is on the Secretary of State's website. And the first time they do it, they have to also file an affidavit that all the information is true and correct. The Secretary of State's procedures only allow them to do that once. But the challenge against us was that they should have done it every time they circulated a different petition. Mm-hmm. Our defense was, well, you may think that, but the law doesn't say that. And the website that we have to use doesn't allow it. So ultimately, the Supreme Court agreed on that basis, too. They said, well, there's some logic to what they're saying. But frankly, if it's impossible to comply, we can't hold somebody to that standard. So that was what they ruled. And I think it was a just result.
So the disclosure of true sources of donations of more than $5,000 on political campaigns is the requirement of this initiative. Is that what we're talking about?
That's exactly right. It is the effort to shine a light of transparency on what has been called dark money, and it's called dark money for a reason. We don't know who the contributors are, and tens of millions of dollars get spent in Arizona by these dark money organizations, which essentially under the law, they're not breaking any laws. And we think that's wrong. We think there should be a law. So that's what this proposition is all about. But they allow millions and millions of dollars to be spent to try to persuade us as voters to go one way or the other, but don't give us the benefit of knowing who it is that's trying to persuade us. So we can't evaluate the message in light of who is the sponsor. And that's something we're trying to change with this proposition.
There are some in the legislature, and maybe more than just a few people, Terry Goddard, in the legislature that really would like to see citizen initiatives go away.
Oh, you nailed it, Bill. there is a very strong, I would say a majority of the current legislature that says they should be the only ones to pass laws, mm-hmm. and that our constitutional right, which is shared with about 20 other states, to by proposition, by initiative, by signatures, to be able to get something on the ballot for the voters of Arizona to approve or disapprove, is wrong. And so over the years, they have added requirement after requirement to the initiative process so that it's become a true murderer's row of obstacles. And I think that's just wrong. It's trying to deprive Arizonans of a constitutional right, which was there since 1912.
What would it take? They'd have to push to change the Constitution. They'd have to do their own initiative, wouldn't they?
Oh, yes, they would. And I guess they could if they had the courage of their convictions. No, what they want to do is to insert more and more requirements, mm-hmm. which those of us who are trying to get signatures have to follow because it's the law. And those requirements have a lot of gotcha provisions. For example, if the printing of the petition is not exactly right, if the margins are not precisely correct, those petitions can be thrown out. If you fail to check the box that says you're a volunteer or a paid petition passer, all the signatures would be thrown out. regardless of the fact that the people who sign are the ones who have the constitutional right. It's not the circulator, but the legislature says they're so concerned about fraud in the petition process that we have to have all these extra requirements. For example, one of the big ones is that every initiative petition has to be the circulator has to have their signature notarized on the back. No other petition requires that. A candidate petition doesn't require notarization. But for some reason, the legislature thinks that initiative should be notarized. Doesn't add a bit to the credibility of the signatures on the front, but it's an extra hurdle that has to be followed by anybody who wants to get their petition, their proposition on the ballot. And I shouldn't go any further by not saying, Bill, that this is Proposition 211 that we're talking about now. We got a number a week ago Friday from the Secretary of State, and so we are official. And I'm urging everybody who's in the sound of your voice and mine today to vote yes for transparency in Arizona.
Let me ask you a quick water question, because Terry Goddard, you are the president of the Central Arizona Projects Governing Board. How concerned should we be about water?
Oh, very concerned, Bill. I Tucson has planned for its water extremely well, and they have an underground supply, which basically protects the city from shock. But what we all have in common is dependence upon our imports from the Colorado River. And the news is really grim. Both Lake Powell and Lake Mead are at historic low levels. The flow of the river, which was confidently believed to be around 16 to 20 million acre feet a year, now is stretching to get to 10. Mm. So we're talking about a supply that is much, much less and has to be divided among seven states. So it's and Mexico. So we have a real challenge ahead of us, and it's one that's not going away. I think people call this a drought. It's a 30-year drought, which I think makes it something other than a drought. I mean,
yes.
Droughts come and go. Droughts are interrupted by rainfall. This is a change in the climate, and it's something that we have to take very seriously. And I know Tucson water authorities have been doing that. You talk to Karen Caesar frequently on your show.
Oh, yeah.
And she's on our board of directors. She's a real expert on both landscaping and on the needs of Southern Arizona. But I want to emphasize what I'm sure Karen has already told you, that this is a very serious problem. And unfortunately, we thought we were headed for an imposed solution, something that nobody really was relishing, but which would in fact have shown us a way out of this mess. From the Bureau of Reclamation, from the Department of Interior, they set a deadline for the 28th of August. They basically said, you guys better have your, I'm sorry, not the 28th, it was earlier than that, but it was the end of August.
Yeah, it was the...
They basically said, we want you to come up with a plan, seven states, and otherwise we'll impose one. And the deadline came and went. It was the 16th of August. I'm sorry, I had the date wrong. But they came and went, and they did nothing. They simply said, okay, well, we'll give you another year, and we'll try to figure it out. I don't think we've got another year at the kind of drawdowns that are affecting Lake Mead and Lake Powell today.
All right, we'll have Karen Caesar from the CAP board on September 20th. So thank you very much, Terry Goddard. Good news about the Dark Money Initiative making the ballot. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Former Arizona Attorney General Terry Goddard. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Wrapping it up, midweek edition, even though it feels like a Tuesday because we were off on Monday. But, hey, we're almost to Friday. There you go. Back in about 23 hours. Have a great afternoon, everybody.